My son is with me tonight. Glad to have him on board. And glad to see he is with us tonight. My wife will be down here in a few minutes. And I'm sure Babs is joining us over there at Tennessee Grace Fellowship. And we've got Long Beach Grace Fellowship joining us from Long Beach, California. So we got three different fellowships joining us tonight. So that's a good thing. A little bit slow tonight, but it's crawling. So hopefully we will gives a chance for all of our Facebook guests to come on board by me starting up Facebook first. Kind of gives you guys a jump on things. Okay, it looks like Brother Mark Roberts is already with us. Good evening, Brother Mark.
Hey, Brother Larry, it's Carl.
I mean, Brother Carl, yeah. All right, I want to welcome aboard Brother Carl, Brother Alan Taylor, Brother Mark Kennedy, Brother Andre Barrows, Brother Ashley Kenny. Greetings to you too, Brother. And I'm glad you're having yourself a cup of coffee as well. Okay, I guess we could call ourselves the Coffee Jesus Club. Anyway, well, let's see if Mark has checked in over at TalkShoe yet. Brother Carl is with us, and I'm going to let Carl give the name of his topic, which he so artfully named tonight. Brother Carl, I told him I took no responsibility for the name of the topic tonight. So.
Well, me and Brother Mark and I were discussing what we could talk about tonight, and we thought about charismaticism and we decided to call it charismatic tomfoolery and poppycock, and which are two words that I rather enjoy using, but I don't get to use them as frequently as I would like to. So I went ahead and looked in my Webster's dictionary, and the definition of tomfoolery is playful or foolish behavior. And the definition for poppycock, as defined by Webster's, is empty talk or writing, and also nonsense. So I figured, why not?
Certainly sounds like it's applicable. Listen, Brother Mark Kennedy has joined us, so I'm going to just kind of turn this over to you guys. And, you know, I may pop in from time to time, but it's your program, and so have at it, guys. Good evening, Brother Mark.
Thank you, Brother Larry. God bless you. Hope you're doing well today. Hello, Brother Carl. Good to be with you again. I love you. I love you, brothers, dearly.
Love you, too.
Yes, sir. Good. Yes, sir. We love you, too.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll start off. What inspired me, Larry, Brother Larry, is that video you sent me the other week from this pastor, and it turns out he's in Johannesburg, South Africa. And I sent that story to you guys from The Guardian, and it's already having international adverse ramifications and consequences. And so I just read that story, but evidently, the story is that this guy, pastor from this church in Johannesburg, he finagled these funeral homes and a couple of funeral homes and whatnot to be involved with him, and now they're suing him over this stunt that they, you know, that this fellow pulled. So I'll just read a little bit of the story from the Guardian story that I sent you the other day. South African pastor sued for staging fake resurrection. A pastor in South Africa is being sued over a resurrection stunt which has since gone viral and further raised questions about the authenticity of pastoral miracles. The lawsuit stems from a recent video in which Alf Lucal convinces his congregation that he successfully brought a man back from the dead. The pastor of Alleluia Ministries is seen standing over an open casket, touching the deceased individual before shouting, "Rise up!" The man inside the coffin then sits up as onlookers begin to cheer. The video was filmed outside Lucal's church in Johannesburg. Since the hoax went viral, the BBC reports Kingdom Blue, Kings and Queens Funeral Services, and Black Phoenix are taking legal action against Lucal for allegedly staging the stunt and tricking them into being involved. Lucal reportedly got the coffin from Kingdom Blue and placed Black Phoenix stickers on a private car in an attempt to, quote-unquote, look credible to Kings and Queens Funeral Services when they arrived to order a hearse. Now, here's an interesting part, and this is almost done, and there's only one more sentence, and then it's done. There are no such things as miracles. The Commission for the Promotion and Protection of Cultural, Religious, and Linguistic Communities told South Africa's national broadcaster. According to several news reports, Alleluia Ministries has backtracked on Lucal's resurrection claims and insisted that the man in the coffin was already alive, quote-unquote, when he arrived at the church in Kramerville, Sandton. The ministry says the pastor simply completed a miracle that God had already started. Now, see, isn't this interesting? They're doing the same thing that Harold Camping did when he was exposed for mischief. They're backtracking, and they're saying, "Oh, let me specify what I meant. I meant to say that I should have said this, and da 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 da." And you know the really sad part about this is, it's bringing reproach on the name of Christ. Because this unbelieving world loves to point the finger when things like this happen. See, they're faking it. And that proves that all Christians are fake. No, that just proves that this guy was fake. So it's really sad that they're bringing reproach on the name of Christ in doing this. Anyway, and I will turn it over to Brother Cog to put any thoughts in that he might want to.
Yes, I totally agree. You know, having grown up in charismaticism and also Pentecostalism for a brief time, you know, as I got older, I resented Christianity, and for that reason, you know, coming out of those movements like I did when I was 16, I knew that it was fake, you know, and I used that as an excuse to attack, you know, Christians that I would come across, you know, in my daily life. And you're exactly right, Brother Mark. You know, people hear about, you know, Benny Hinn and Todd White and Bill Johnson and, you know, Perry Stone would be another one, David Hogan. The list goes on and on and on, Michael Brown. And, you know, even the unregenerate sinner can see that some people are total charlatans. And I mean, it's, you know, it's really disgusting. I have a clip that I want to play. It's about 3 minutes, but I wanted to wait till right at 7 to do it because I wanted to make sure that everybody was here before I played it. So Brother Larry, you just let me know whenever you think, you know, is a good time, and I'll play this clip here and sort of give people a frame of reference of what me and as just further clarification of what, you know, me and Brother Mark are talking about tonight. And I'd like to also state publicly that, and this might shock some people, but I'm not a total cessationist. In other words, I believe that God is sovereign and that he can heal somebody today if he chooses to do so.
Yeah.
I believe that if God needs to get the gospel to someone in a jungle or someone that's never, you know, heard someone speak,
a actual other tongue before, that God will cause that person to hear the gospel in their own language. I believe that with all of my heart. And, you know, right, yes, sir. And, you know, these people that me and Brother Mark are calling out tonight, I mean, these aren't just people that are, you know, have been raised by the wrong traditions and are just deceived and have a really sincere heart, because there are people that are deceived that mean really well, you know, that mean well, that are in these movements. What me and Brother Mark are talking about is we're talking about charlatans and people like this guy who paid this person to get in this coffin. And you can see him moving. Yeah. You can see the guy moving around. You know, and it's sort of, it seems so, you know, these people obviously pick these parts of the world to go into that have these pagan superstitious religions, and they come in there with this charismaticism, this charismatic nonsense, and it's just like a second nature for these people to pick it up, because it's basically like witchcraft is all it is.
Yep.
I mean, it's total nonsense, total tomfoolery and poppycock. But, you know, again, I believe that God can do what he wants to. And if he wants to, you know, preach the gospel to someone using somebody else to speak in an unknown tongue, he could do that. But I in no way, shape, or form believe that Benny Hinn does it, or Perry Stone does it, or David Hogan does it, or, you know, it's like James White's ministry the other day whenever I contacted them, you know, and I'm just going to play a clip here at the top of the hour here. And this is the same guy that I play. This is not the same clip, but this is the same person that I played for Rich at Alpha and Omega Ministries. Whenever I got done calling this guy and Michael Brown out, I was told by Alpha and Omega Ministries, right, that this is just charismaticism and these people aren't hurting anybody. And that if I come against somebody like this, I'm indicting all of TBN and all of charismaticism. Which is fine with me, because that's my intent.
And they deserve it. They deserve it.
Yeah, I wanted to let you know that we have had quite a few guests pop up. We've got Andre Barros. We've got Alan Taylor. We've got Ashley Kinney. We've got Michael David McCord. We've got MJ Avalos. And we have Benny Green. And I'm sure I would probably wait at least a couple more minutes because on the announcements we sent out, we were going to start at 6:00 Central. So, welcome aboard, everyone. We hope that, this broadcast is edifying. And I totally agree with Brother Carl. God is not limited by time or space or rules of man. Okay? He is not dependent upon his creature, and he is not obligated to do anything other than honor his word and to glorify himself. That's his purpose. And
that's
so
right.
I would totally agree with Brother Mark and Brother Carl that God used a donkey in the Old Testament. He used a big fish in the Old Testament to swallow up Jonah. We see the miracles that he did in the New Testament. He turned water into wine. He raised Lazarus from the dead. But I do agree with what Brother Mark said, and I would concur with him. My own experience with the charismatics has been the same as Brother Carl's, and it's all been absolutely fakery and absolutely, you know, I've been to many of him. I've been to a Benny Hinn event, okay, in my past. I've been to St. Louis to the Benny Hinn event where he was throwing people across the stage, supposedly.
Wow.
I've been to some of these crazy, absolutely crazy things going on. I was at an event in Kansas City. And by the way, a lot of this is not just fakery. A lot of it is actually satanic, satanic.
Yep.
A lot of these people are influenced by Satan, and God will allow, or you know, God has ordained. Now I've got a problem because Facebook is now. I really wonder sometimes about Facebook. I don't trust them. I find it really interesting. As soon as we get to some succinct points, they cut off the broadcast. So they know all of our people go away, and a lot of people won't reconnect. If you can hear this, come back on, because we will come back right back with the broadcast. So anyway.
Yeah, you're right. It is very suspicious how they go off at certain points. You're right about that. It's very suspicious. But yes, I agree with Brother Carl. There is genuine miracles of God, and they don't happen in TV studios, and they don't, you know, they happen, you know, when God decides, not when man decides. And so you're right. I agree with that. And so what we're talking about is the counterfeit tonight. We're talking about these counterfeits. And the problem I have with this counterfeit phenomenon is their conception of God. They have a conception of God like he's a genie in a bottle to perform on demand. That's not the God of Scripture. And so, yes, it's real, genuine miracles, and God, you know, can do it. God can do anything, and he doesn't need anybody's permission to do it. And
that's
so,
right.
We're talking about the counterfeit, which these fakers, they're all fakers. 99% of them are fakers. And they're engaged in an enterprise of unholiness, trying to bring glory not to Jehovah, but to themselves. And they've got these massive entourage congregations surrounding them. Hey, you're so holy! Da 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 da. Oh, give me a break.
Right, you know, I challenge, you know, anybody out there that may be listening, you know, to just, you know, don't take our word for it. And what you can actually do is pull up a clip of someone pull up a clip of someone that does yoga and has just experienced a Kundalini awakening. And watch that, and then pull up a fire tunnel. And watch how these charlatans, watch the tomfoolery and poppycock that goes on with these people in the so-called church in a fire tunnel. It looks one and the same. And, you know, it's this spirit about it that it looks just like something that happens over there in India. I mean, these people go into fits. They start wailing and gnashing their teeth and crying and laughing one minute and falling down. I mean, it looks like it's demonic. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah, and, you know, also, and, you know, this is just my opinion, but I think this is one of the greatest threats to the, you know, to the church, is this whole charismatic Pentecostal movement, this whole fakery that goes on. All right.
Yeah, I think
this does far more damage. And this is what I've told Rich at Alpha Omega, you know, at Alpha and Omega Ministries. We've had several conversations about this topic and their willingness to embrace someone like Michael Brown, a charismatic charlatan, and that is this, you know, that these people are far more a threat to the church than Islam. You know, I've asked Rich, you know, why is James White spending all this time debating Islamic people or debating Christians that believe in gay marriage? Don't waste your time with that. What you need to be focusing on is charismaticism.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
This is what you should be calling out. I mean, it is utterly disgusting. I mean, I don't really don't have a whole, I mean, tomfoolery and poppycock. I mean, we say that jokingly, but it's exactly that. And it is a serious threat, to the church. And what I mean by threat to the church is just what Brother Mark was saying earlier. People see this nonsense and they associate
just like I used to do, that all Christians are like this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because they don't know any better. Yep. They don't know that this is a, they don't know that this is a counterfeit, which is of Satan, a counterfeit to the real thing. You know, and real miracles don't happen on demand when people want them to. A real miracle will happen when and if and only if God decides it's going to happen. So now I feel that we've established a topic, and now I feel that it is time to base our discussion on a scriptural basis. So I would like to read in the book of, in the letter, or the general epistle of Jude, in the Authorized King James only. Jude, verse 10, down to 13. In the Authorized King James version only. Verse 10 of Jude. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts in those things they corrupt themselves. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Verse 12, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's Jude. And there is also another scripture, I think it's in 1 Timothy, about those who suppose that godliness is the means to financial gain and all of this stuff, and their unspiritual mind puffs them up with idle notions, you know, from such turn away. I think it's 1 or 2 Timothy, something like that. But I wanted to start with Jude to establish a scriptural basis for what we're saying. And also I have another one in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. In the Authorized King James Version, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So see, these false teachers, they're not operating according to, you know, scriptural and divine order. They're just not.
That's right. Amen. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, verses 1 through 3, in Authorized King James Version only. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
There it is.
Brother Larry, are we at a good point where I can play this clip?
I think so. Carl?
Okay, I'm going to play it then if you guys think we're good to go.
Yeah, go ahead.
That was in Peter.
That was 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And if you read verses 4 and 5, if you go through there 4 and 5, that actually talks about what I believe. I don't want to get off topic here, but I believe verses 4 and 5 are referring to the Nephilim, without a doubt. But anyway, let me read excuse me, let me play this clip. Here we go. This is David Hogan from Bethel Redding in 2011. This is a rather moderate clip of him. It's about 3 minutes long. So here we
go. If something happens and you guys can't hear it, just speak up loudly and I'll see if I can fix it. Here we go.
My Bible says, and God crafted the world. So if God can do that, and if God's in me, what is it? What is it? Why is it something that's so far out of your reach if the day you got born again, he was handed to you? How can that be? How can you feel like it's so far away from you when you possess it because Jesus is in you? The blood covenant gives you permission. You have the inheritor's right. So, I'm holding this baby, and I said to it, now you listen to me. I command you to obey me. This is a dead baby, 7 hours, the whole deal. And I told the mother, come back and get your baby raised from the dead. It's still dead. The daddy gets up. And he comes up and he's crying. I said, take your son. God raised him from the dead. But what I'm seeing is the same dead, still baby. And I handed it to him. And he studied me. He studied me for about, it must have been a minute. It was very uncomfortable. He was deciding whether to take his machete out and chop me or to believe me. But he decided to believe me. The truth is, I'm right. And it makes you like I am when you are. And so he turns around to the wife now. Dead baby in his hands. His baby. Here's our son raised from the dead. And she studied him now. And when mama reaches out, I'm telling you, there ain't much out here in life. But you got your grandma or mama or something like that, buddy, you better have your hackles up. Something's been happening. You better be afraid. Because God backs them people. She reached and she looked at me in the face and thank you. And when she touched that little baby, you should have seen it. I wish I could make it happen for you. She grabs that baby, and it goes, ah! It came back to life.
And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
Amen, brother. I think you sent that clip to me like a week or so ago.
Yes, it's pretty disturbing.
And what is with that whoop whoop that he has the congregation doing? What is that?
It's one of his trademarks, man. He was actually snarling and growling between their two. I don't know if you guys could hear it, but he snarls and growls and he skips around. I mean, he actually reminds, you know, me and Babs have both, you know, we both agree that he looks like an imp. That's how we think of him, is a demonic imp that runs around.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude's wicked.
That makes sense to me. That makes very good sense. Oh, I found the other scripture that I was referring to earlier. It's 1 Timothy, first book of Timothy, chapter 6, starting at verse 3. I'll give you a minute to get there if you want, or I can just read it in the Authorized King James. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, like the people we're talking about, and destitute of the truth. They're destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out of this world. And verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And then here's the verdict of Scripture on this thing. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drowned men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Awesome, isn't it?
Amen. Yes, sir, it is. It is. I mean, I was, finding the scripture there, and I came across 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Yes, sir.
Yep.
Some people, apparently most people, those so-called Christians, they believe that we're all going down the same road. That's what I was told.
Yeah.
We're all going down the same road. What's it matter? These people are just charismatic. I mean, they're not hurting anybody. I mean, but, if these people are lying like they're doing, I mean, are we supposed to hate every false way as believers?
Yes.
I mean, how can David Hogan, despite what Alpha and Omega Ministries may tell me, that we're all going down the same road, I mean, if David Hogan is lying,
Wow.
I mean, if David Hogan is lying, which surely he is he preaching the same Christ that I preach, that we preach? I don't think so. Where do we draw the line? Where is the divine line in all this?
Exactly.
I mean, I think Scripture lays it out pretty clearly. If any man preaches another gospel unto you than which the one we have preached, it says, let him be accursed.
That's right. Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
Timothy nails it several times in the second chapter of Second Timothy, beginning with the 14th verse. It says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase the more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth of Christ have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overcome the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, back to what Brother Carl. Yeah, the next two verses deal with what Brother Carl was just addressing. He says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor and sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And so we see that picture there that Brother Carl was alluding to. We're not all on the same path.
That's right. Brother Carl.
Yes, sir.
The guy at Alpha Omega Ministries actually said that to you, that all roads lead to God?
Well, he didn't say that. What he told me was, those people are just charismatic. You know, and I asked him, well, do you consider these people believers? And he said, oh, yeah. And to which I disagree vehemently, you guys know how I am. And I try to do it I try not to get loud with him. I tried to be as gentle as I could about, with the man about it. But whenever he said that, I told him, these people are lost. And if you think that, obviously me and you, Rich, we're not going down the same road. Because that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. One of the first conversations that I had with Rich from Alpha and Omega Ministries back last year was about Michael Brown. I think I mentioned this before, but whenever I brought Michael Brown up, I didn't get his name all the way out of my mouth. And Rich told me, I didn't even finish the sentence, and he said, look, hasn't Dr. James White made it clear to everybody that he thinks Michael Brown, or Dr. Michael Brown, is the cream of the crop in the charismatic movement? That's what he told me.
Wow.
Brother Larry, what did you think about that clip of David Hogan I just played?
Well, I think it's just apparent that Dr. James White and his group, Alpha and Omega Ministry, have drunk the Kool-Aid. And I already mentioned that, a couple months ago that Kenneth Copeland has gone on international television now and stated that the Protestant Reformation is now over. Roman Catholic Church and the Christian Church are now one. That was made by Kenneth Copeland in a telephonic conference, video conference, with the Pope.
And, wow.
He has gone to Rome, to Vatican now, and he is two-step in line with Pope Francis. And so this is what we're seeing, the ecumenical movement. My father told me back when I was 11 years old, he said, Mary, you won't believe this, but there will come a time in the United States when all of the churches will be in unity together. It won't matter what denomination they are. He said, it won't matter if it's Southern Baptist, Assembly of God, Christian, Disciples of Christ, Nazarene, Church of God Holiness. And the reason that he could make that statement, because they were all in agreement then.
Right.
They upheld the free will of man then. Nothing has changed. They all deny the sovereignty of God and salvation. They deny election and predestination. They deny the final appearance of the saints. They believe that elect child of God can fall from grace and not have everlasting life, which God promised to give to them. And so I can see my father made that statement. And we've seen it now. The ecumenical world has all come under one umbrella.
Yeah.
And now you have the Zionists are in two steps with the evangelicals, because the evangelicals are promoting the Zionist movement. That's why we see all talk about anti-Semitism. Now they're saying if someone says something against Israel or the Zionist religion, they're anti-Semitic. No, I'm not against Jews.
I'm against godless, heretical teachings that go against the Bible and against my Messiah. My dad said one time, the reason why all the Jews are not God's chosen people is because they have blasphemed Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And that's what these charismatics have done. They are taking on the name of Christ. It says, if someone comes in the desert saying, I am Christ, this guy that you just played, he just stated, who he basically sounded New Age to me, that he was a little Christ running around. I've heard Kenneth Copeland say that. I've heard Paul Crouch say, we're all little gods. We're all little gods, you know.
Right. David Hogan claims to perform surgery on people. All right, he claims to pray for people that need dental work, and they will receive gold and platinum teeth. You know, I have called his ministry several times. They have two of my phone numbers blocked. But when you call, David Hogan's wife answers. And the first time I called, I asked to speak. You know, I didn't know that it was David Hogan's wife to get. You know, the first time I called, Debbie is her name. And I asked to speak with a man, and she said, well, that's not going to happen. And I said, well, why not? She said, well, you know, you can speak with me or you can speak to nobody, basically, she told me. Wow. And so, I asked her a couple of questions and told her that, you know, I had a little ministry, you know, that, you know, I did from home, and that one of the things that I did was expose false prophets. And she said, well, you just go right ahead, hung up in my face. And she blocked that phone number. But every now and then I can call and she'll answer. And she answered, I think it was last week when I called. And I think I mentioned this. And David Hogan has claimed in the past to make midgets grow. All right? He has claimed to make midgets grow. He has claimed to make missing limbs on people magically reappear. All right? And I asked her about the midgets. I said, look, you know, is it true that your husband, David Hogan, made midgets grow? And she said, well, I don't think he's ever said that. And I said, well, what about the limbs that he claims to regrow for people? And she goes, oh, I've seen that with my own eyes. David Hogan has claimed to have died three times himself, and his wife and his family members have raised him from the dead. He claims to have had, like, seven incurable diseases. I mean,
and of course you're supposed to believe them without any proof or evidence, yes.
Right, and people say, well, why do you care? You know, like Rich from Alpha and Omega Ministries, what's the big deal, man? Why do you care? We're all going down the same road. What's it matter? Well, I care because they are shaming my blessed Lord and Savior.
That's right.
All right? And I know that God is sovereign. I know that God is the one that gives the angel the key to the bottomless pit when it's opened and all these locusts come out. I understand that. But we have a reasonable service as Christians, and we're not excused from that. All right? All this don't murmur against second causes nonsense, that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. It's right up there with heliocentricity, all right? It's right up there with the Earth spinning at 1,000 miles an hour at the equator and going around the sun at 666,000.
Yep.
Right?
When I was really steeped in the New Age movement, they had a guru back then, and you guys will probably remember this name when I mention it. And this guy claimed to do the same thing. He supposedly did hundreds, if not thousands, of surgeries on people. His name was Edgar Cayce. Okay.
Oh yeah.
If you want to get your boat loaded, just go to your browser and plug in Edgar Cayce and his surgeries with his hands. Okay. He would take his hands and run it over people's bodies, and he'd claim to do all these different surgeries and bring about miraculous healings. And he didn't believe in biblical doctrine at all. He was a New Ager. He was into metaphysics. And you can see
a lot about his writings. They're just absolutely against the Bible, against the infallibility of the Scriptures, against the inerrancy of God's Word. And yet, why is it that people will listen to someone like Edgar Cayce or Kenneth Copeland or Oral Roberts or Robert Shuler or Norman Vincent Peale or, you know, the new guys, the new kids on the block? I don't know all the new kids. I know the old kids, okay? People like, you know, in the past that people would used to follow and make such a big deal over, you know, how they were so miraculous. There was one guy out there, he was from Oklahoma, and he had a huge, it wasn't Oral Roberts, it was Oral Roberts' mentor. And I think Hagen was it or something like that. What was his name? Anyway, he was renowned. He had and he still has a huge following. He's still dead, you know. But that just shows you how people will try to latch on to a man and exalt a man and follow a man, and rather than follow God, rather than follow his word, they'll go to so many limits to try to exalt man-centered doctrine. And that's what we're talking about tonight, and we have to take a stand against it. You know, I mean,
right.
I saw someone on Facebook recently post this. They said, I'm getting sick and tired of these people that say their ministry is exposing false doctrine. Get off of it already. Why don't you focus on the gospel? You spend all your time, now here's an Arminian statement if I've ever heard one. You spend all your time exposing false doctrine. How many people have you got saved this week?
Oh, yeah. Look, I had somebody. I had somebody in one of the comment sections for one of these David Hogan sermons about a week ago. I preached the gospel to this person over YouTube, you know, in the comment section with scripture. And you know what the person told me? This is what the person told me. All you have is some awesome scripture. That's all you have.
Wow.
Wow. Yes, and let me correct myself. A while ago, I misspoke. The earth goes around the sun at between 66,000 and 67,000 miles per hour. And I think I said something different a while ago. And I want to be very accurate because, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, and, I mean.
Yeah. That was very interesting what you were relating, Brother Larry, about what your father said. It's kind of apparent that was very interesting. Your father evidently saw the handwriting on the wall about this false unity that we see today. It is a unity, but it's a unity based on misconception and error of interpretation of scripture. So it is a unity, that's true, but it's a false unity. So that was very interesting about what you said your dad said to you when you were very young. Evidently, he saw the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah, and I think if you study Revelation closely, I think it bears out what he said back, you know, 50 years ago. In other words, or 60, over 70 years ago now. And that is that you know, there's going to come a time when God is, by his own decree, he's already stated, so it's a fact, it's going to happen, that Satan is going to rise in power. And it says that, as it relates to the beast, it says that the whole world, I'm paraphrasing now, but the whole world is going to go after the beast. Okay?
Yep.
Those that don't, they're going to probably have their heads chopped off. They're going to be persecuted. They're going to die for their faith. Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking about tonight? Everything. Because when we see people in mass, and I don't mean Catholic mass, I mean in huge numbers, all basically just saying, you know what, I'm just for unity, I'm just for loving my brother,
I don't care what you believe. I don't care what name's over your door. I don't care. You know, let's major on the majors, not on the minors. And the minors mean to them are things like cosmology and, you know, whether we believe in sovereign grace or free will. That to them is a minor. To me, it's a major, major.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And
yes,
so,
yes, sir.
And so that's what we're seeing. We're seeing that this whole hodgepodge of all of these people coming together under one umbrella, and they're worshiping Antichrist. That's who they're worshiping.
Yeah.
They're worshiping another Christ, another gospel.
That's
and
right.
I don't want to have, I do not have fellowship with the works of darkness. And whenever they identify themselves as being in darkness, I will exhort them. The Bible says after the first and second admonition, reject. Now, I'll just share this and then I'll let you guys get back. But I just recently sent out an email. I don't know how many people, but I have a very extensive email list. But I have to do this about every 3 months. And I could read it to you, but I know what it says because I wrote it. It just says, from time to time, I notice that our communication has altered. And now you only want to send me things, and you don't want to respond to anything I send you. And so obviously we're not on the same page. And so also I've noticed that you don't want to communicate with me anymore. You just want to send things to me. And so if I don't hear back from you in this email, where you actually indicate that you would like to continue in a communicative relationship, you will receive no more correspondence from me.
Yep.
You know, I won't tell you how many I sent that out to. I got one response. One.
Wow.
Okay. That ought to tell you something, okay? There's a lot of people out there that come across, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They come across as being really nice and everything, but they are wolves. They are coming in to try to bring in false doctrine.
Oh, yeah.
And to try to promote their agenda on your platform. And once I find that out, for an example, once I found out that two people were promoting preterism, they're not a part of my biblical understanding at all. Okay?
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So, and once someone
That's
comes
right.
now to my platform and they try to promote something other than biblical cosmology, I'm sorry. I have nothing further to add, or once I give them the truth of the gospel and the truth of the Bible, and they reject it, what do I have left? Nothing.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
You've done what you're required to do. Yep. You've done your requirement. And when they don't respond, like it says in Acts, when they didn't listen to Paul, you shake the dust off your heels and move on. Yep.
Right. You know, people. You know, in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." These people aren't coming. Some people interpret the scripture incorrectly. What this scripture is teaching is that these false teachers, these false prophets come along and say that Christ is Christ. They are saying that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the Messiah. But they are not believers. They are false teachers and false prophets. All right, we're told in James that even the devil himself knows that Jesus is the Son of God. Just because somebody acknowledges that does not make them a believer. It doesn't. The devil knows that and tremble. All right, that's not what makes a believer. You know, I mean, people just assume because somebody confesses that with their mouth that they're automatically on the right, you know, that we're going down the same road. But no, clearly we're taught otherwise.
I can remember the last conversation, or one of the last conversations I had with my mother, went something like this, you know. How you doing? Oh, we're doing fine. How are you doing? Oh, we're doing okay. And, you know, then it got into, we're praying. Now, this is my mom speaking. We pray for you and Rosette and Mark every night. And I didn't say a word. And she said, you know, we can pray for each other. You know that, Larry. We can pray for each other. I didn't say a word.
Yeah. Right.
And she said, you know we love you, don't you? You know we love you. I didn't say a word. Okay. And I let her continue. I let her continue on as long as I could. The only thing I did respond to her, I said, hey, you know, Mom, the thing of it is, a lot of people have a misunderstanding of what love is,
mm-hmm.
okay? And my understanding of what love is it's synonymous with truth. You know, if I were to have a quote for my broadcast, maybe I'll start using the quote I would use. It would be this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus Christ. Okay?
Amen.
Because that's the problem when people start trying to say, well, you know, we're like, just like Brother Carl said, we're on the same page. We serve the same God. No, we don't. We pray to the same God. No, you know, I didn't want to tell her. My mother, look, I don't want you praying for me, okay? You're not praying to the same God that I'm praying to. You've rebelled against Christ. You've rebelled against his word. You've rebelled against many, many things in his word, even after people have exhorted you that you are living in distinction to his doctrine, to his word. And I think that's what we're talking about tonight, is that once people start revealing what they actually believe, you know, we as God's elect, we hear his voice. His sheep hear his voice. And it says they will not follow another. They won't hear another one's voice. They'll run from
that's
them,
right.
You
know? That's right.
So anyway, I'll turn it back.
Yes, that's right, Brother Larry. John 10, they will not follow the voice of another. They'll flee from him. That's right, John 10.
You know,
go ahead, Brother Carl.
Oh, I was just going to say in Luke 8, verses 26 through 28. Let's see here. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over just Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. All right? These devils that were in this man cried out to Christ, acknowledging that he was the Son of God. That didn't make them believers.
Right?
That didn't make them believers. And people have to wake up and, you know, discernment is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's something that the Holy Spirit gives you at the new birth. And it's something that as you grow in grace, you develop it more. And this is a work of God. This is a work of God. And like my dear mother, who I love dearly, you know, she, according to her, she's been serving the Lord for 30-something years, according to her. She's been real faithful to the Lord for 30-something years, right? Mm. But she believes she can speak in tongues and interpret her tongues. All right. If she hasn't been taught different by now, regardless of how long she's been steeped in her traditions, if she doesn't have any more spiritual discernment, I'm not saying who's saved or who's not. I don't know that. All right.
Right.
I'm just looking at the word of God and applying it. All right. And if somebody is deceived for that long and has no discernment, what's that say about them? What does that say about people who sit underneath somebody like David Hogan?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, what's that say?
Yep. Nothing good. Doesn't say anything good about
that. Absolutely right. It's also, you know, one of the tests that I tell people that you can use almost across the board to validate the authenticity of whether a person really subscribes to the Bible. And now I know people don't want to hear this. Carl alluded to this earlier, you know. I recently sent out, and I think I sent a copy to you guys, an excellent message by a guy by the name of Beebe back in 1848.
And entitled
The Absolute Predestination of All Things. Phenomenal sermon. I would highly recommend you listen to it again if you haven't. Because you have to listen to it a couple times. But I sent that out probably 75 people between Facebook, Sermon Audio, and YouTube, and different people that I know. And I didn't get one response back from that sermon. Not one. Okay.
Wow.
Now, you know something? That, you know what that tells me? In all probability, that guy is speaking the truth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're in the minority of the minority. You're in good stead. When someone you're talking to starts talking about all the miracles that Christ performed and all the miracles that Christ has performed in their life, and they start talking all the dreams, all the special revelations, all the words of knowledge that God has given them, all of the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit, when they start talking about how many people they have got into the kingdom, how many people they have healed, how many people they have baptized, how many mission trips they've been on, how much money they've given to the church, how many years they've been going to the church, and on and on and on. You know what I usually do? I'd say, hey, I'd like to just go over one passage of scripture and just, if you could just give me your thoughts about it. Now, you know where I take them.
Oh, yeah.
I take them right to the ninth
Romans
chapter. Romans 9.
Yeah. That's right.
I start reading through the ninth chapter of Romans. As soon as I get to the point where it says the children not being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, usually they stop me before I get to Jacob, have I loved Esau, have I hated, and they go, look, you know what? I don't go along with this. I know where you're going. I have a different interpretation than yours, and I don't want to talk about it. That's all I need to know. I mean, in other words, the people cannot accept, you know, my mom used to do that. She'd say, you know what I believe. I said, yes, I know what I believe. But I said, it's not relevant what you believe. What is relevant is what Christ stated and what his apostles stated. That's the only thing that's relevant, okay? The same thing we've often talked about this, Ephesians 1 and 2, John 6, John 10, John 17, Colossians 1, Isaiah 45, Isaiah 42, Amos, you know, anytime you show that God is in control, okay, as if who is a recipient of his love, who is a recipient of his salvation, And once you take it away from man and place all of salvation wholly in the sovereign hand of God, people take a hike. That's it. That's it.
That's right. You know, and some things, there are some things that are open for interpretation. But the salvation of a sinner is, and how that's accomplished, is not. We're told that salvation is of the Lord. And, that's not up for interpretation. I mean, if people want to deny that, I mean, well, go ahead. But, you know, me and my wife, we're not going to have no part of it.
Recently, a very person that says that she's Reformed, I think she probably goes to a Presbyterian church. She's very active on Facebook. I'm not going to mention her name. But she's been attacking all people who hold to a geocentric model. And the way she attacks them, and by the way, I'm learning why, and I'm going to have a conversation with Edward Henry on this. I can see Carl's position on this, and I'm going to want to get Edward's position. I tend to agree with Carl on this over Brother Edward Henry, but I'm sure Edward Henry has his reasons. I have gotten to the point where people so automatically assume that you believe that the earth is entirely flat if you hold any kind of position other than the fact that the earth is a globe, okay? So I don't use the term flat earth anymore, okay? But this gal, she does, is the way she attacks geocentrism is by labeling everyone who holds that view as a flat earther, okay? And so she started attacking all flat earthers and saying they were basically heretics on Facebook. And the only thing I just went to her and I said, I've got a question for you. Do you believe that the earth revolves around the sun, or do you believe the sun revolves around the earth? And she says, I believe that, which shocked me. She said, I believe that the earth, the sun revolves around the earth, but I believe the moon revolves around the sun. Okay.
Wow.
And
you know what, Brother Larry and Brother Mark and everybody out there listening, when God opens your eyes and you see the truth in Scripture, and, you know, this is biblical cosmology is not something that's open for interpretation. This is my opinion. And it is not open. Biblical cosmology is not open to interpretation. God himself, if you don't, you know, go to Jeremiah 31 and read that chapter. Just read that chapter alone. All right? We are clearly told by our Lord and Savior, if man can measure the height of heaven or search out the foundations of the earth, that he will cast off all his, that he will cast off all of Israel for their sins.
Yeah.
All right. And these men have claimed to these so-called scientists and astronauts. I say "nots" in quotes because they're not. All right. And these geologists and these people, right? And these people and these people have claimed to have that these people claim that we're in a self-expanding universe. All right. They've claimed to search the heights of the heavens out. They say that we're on a spinning rock with a molten core. They've claimed to search the foundations of the earth out. And if they've done that, according to Jeremiah 31, then there's no salvation. God will remember our sins. And I don't say that. Brother Mark doesn't say that. Brother Edward Hendry, Brother Larry doesn't say that. God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, says that. And yep. It's not open for interpretation.
Really interesting because a fella, a very articulate, which I believe Satan-inspired writer jumps on board with her and started making the pronunciation that if I held to if I held to the belief that the earth was a closed system, I made man the center of the universe, and I was upholding free will of man. Have you ever heard that one?
Mm.
Now, what's so interesting about that is he went on to say, he went on to say that the sun, the reason he knew that the sun, the earth went around the sun, because God made a tabernacle for the sun, Jesus Christ, and the sun is synonymous with Jesus Christ. I mean, he had some arguments that were just,
No, it's not. Well, the bright morning star is. It's the I see this star every morning when I'm working, just about, because I work from midnight to 6 is one of my watches. And about 4:30 in the morning, there it is. And it heralds the rising of the sun. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
That's all right. Well, what I realized real quickly is it wouldn't matter what scriptures I use to validate the reality and the truth of biblical cosmology. This man, his mind was already, apart from the revelation of the Spirit of God, he would remain in total darkness on this issue. And so you can argue from scripture until you're blue in the face, and you're not going to change someone unless God changes their heart. It's just not
that's right. That's right. That's right.
I did respond, that's as far as I went. I will not get into long. Now, I did tell this gal that brought this up, because I think she wanted to see what my response would be to her, because we've known each other a long time. You know, and I said to her, you know what, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to know what biblical cosmology is, I have done numerous messages on sermon audio. You know what my link is to sermon audio. I've done numerous messages on YouTube as well as Facebook. And if you really want to know what my position on it, you're welcome to go there and listen. And then if you want to discuss it in a private, I'm not going to get into a dialogue and contention with you over Facebook, okay? And that's just, you know, sometimes you just have to take that position. And even though it sounds like you're being aloof, when you realize that the evil one will try to engage you in conflict and contention in front of other people.
You have
to be discerned.
Right. And you know, that guy that was trying to establish this link between Christ and the Son. All right, that's Masonic. All right, that is. That is Masonic. Did you guys, and speaking about not wanting to use the word, you know, not wanting to use the terminology flat earth, you know, I don't believe the earth is flat. I mean, it has mountains and hills and valleys and land and oceans and rivers. It has landscape to it. And you can't, you know, whenever you say flat earth, because of our indoctrination when we were kids, you automatically assume that you can fall off the edge of it, you know.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, the earth has landscape to it, but the earth is not, the earth is fixed and immovable and covered by a dome, by the firmament. That's what the Bible teaches. I mean, and to claim ignorance in this day and age, I'm sorry, but unless you are a native somewhere in a foreign land, you really don't have an excuse for it. I mean, let's face it, everybody has a smartphone now. Everybody has access to the internet. Everybody does.
Yep.
And my point there is everybody can access the Word of God and search the scriptures for themselves. God has fixed it that way.
Amen.
All right. He has made his word available free. The King James Version of the Bible is public. It is in the public domain. You can print it and give it out, whatever you need to do with it. God's fixed it that way. So people can't claim ignorance. They can't do it anymore. I mean, you know.
Well, it's great broadcast tonight. We kind of covered a lot of ground, but it all leads back, you know, to, by the way, there used to be a saying, you know, all paths lead to Rome. Well, as right. It relates to pagan worship and so on, it goes a lot further back than Rome. I will say that. It goes back to, you know, pagan religions didn't start with Rome, okay? And the only reason I point that out is a lot of people think that because we're pointing out the origins of the Judaism and its relationship to the Roman Catholic Church and also its relationship to Islam, the Muslim religion. And by the way, Edward Henry does a real good job in Mystery Babylon and Bloody Zion in doing that, but he uses scripture to back up everything he's saying. The reason I'm saying that is that we're not minimizing the absolute antichrist aspect of Roman Catholicism. We're actually maximizing it by showing where it originated from. And a lot of people have it backwards right now. They're trying to say that anyone that is really pointing out the Zionist influence over the world, trying to keep people from looking at Roman Catholicism and the fact that it is, because, you know, the reformers all called Roman Catholicism the beast. The Antichrist was going to come out of Rome. But the point that I think that this broadcast, and we're going to close out on time tonight or within a couple minutes here, but one of the reasons that I think people now realize that it's greater than Rome, okay, mm-hmm. it's greater than Zionism, it's greater than the charismatic church, it's greater than New Age, it's greater than paganism, it's greater than atheism. It anything that comes, anything or anybody that comes against the Christ of the Bible is Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Anyone that comes, and by the way, anyone that comes against Jesus Christ and his teachings is Antichrist. That's what the Bible teaches. And so that's what we're saying, that, you know, that's why it's so important to have the regulating Word of God to back up everything that we're saying. And with that, I think we're going to bring this to a close. And so my quote for tonight is that, you know, like I said earlier, that Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus Christ. Are there any final comments before we close out?
Yes, Brother Larry, I wanted to mention one thing when you were talking about the false doctrine people coming in and all. It's very interesting in Acts chapter 20 when Paul was saying goodbye to the, I believe it was the Corinthian elders, if I'm not mistaken, in Acts chapter 20 when Paul was saying goodbye to the Corinthian elders for the last time. In verse 28 and 29, he said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And that was Acts chapter 20, verses 28 and 29 in the Authorized King James Version. So this is nothing new. This has been going on since, you know, the first century, and we have our work cut out for us. Praise God.
Amen. I'll just close with a, first I'll say I really enjoyed the fellowship. Brother Mark and Brother Larry and Sister Rosette, Brother Mark Phillips, we love all you
guys, and I'm going to close with Proverbs 16, 1 through 6, the King James Version only. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And I'll just close with a quote by Martin Luther, peace if possible and truth at all costs.
Well, I really appreciate that passage in Proverbs. It's really quite succinct for what we've talked about tonight. And I really do appreciate the fellowship of you brothers. And I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he holds all things in his hands, and by him all things consist. And we can take that to the bank. So with that, good night, guys. We love you. Love you, Babs. Love everyone that's joined us on Facebook. And we'll look forward to seeing you all Sunday. Good night.
Yeah.
Love y'all, too.
Good night.
Love you, guys. God bless.
God bless you, Brother Mark.
Love you, Brother Carl. Love you, Brother Larry. God bless everyone.
Love you, too.